But is it fair to say you're getting close with this flight and perhaps others to getting every American who wants to leave Afghanistan out of the country? Are you close?
That's what we're working toward, absolutely.
And are you close now?
We're getting closer.
Ah, and slowly I turn. We're getting closer. Yes, everybody out. Have you seen the pictures of the brutalization of women and the women's protests? They've banned protests. They've banned women protesting. They've banned women in sports. And they've been beating people, and they shot and killed that one woman because she was a police officer. But CNN is excited to announce that a flight takes off from Kabul airport after Taliban cleared Americans and others to leave. Yeah, but those planes that were trapped were at Mazar-e-Sharif, the ones loaded with Americans, and not at the Kabul airport. So what up with that? Flight takes off from Kabul airport after Taliban cleared Americans and others to leave. A commercial flight took off from Kabul airport on Thursday for the first time since the Taliban seized Afghanistan, hours after the militants cleared a group of Americans and other foreign nationals to leave the country. It's up to the Taliban because the United States has no sway. They have no influence whatsoever because, you know, we left. And that was Joe Biden's plan. He's going to make everything better. It is unclear at this stage, whether or how many Americans were aboard the Qatar Airways flight, reported earlier to be bound for Doha, or the nationalities of other passengers. A U.S. official and a source with knowledge of the matter had earlier said the Taliban had cleared around 200 people, including American citizens. That could be two American citizens, but we don't know, to fly out of the lovely and wonderful country. Live pictures showed people boarding the flight on Thursday afternoon in Kabul, and Qatari and Taliban officials were seen touring the airport tarmac, where the Qatar Airways Boeing 777 stood. We don't know. We don't know whether these are American. And this is, again, not Mazar-e-Sharif, where the charter flights were allegedly loaded with Americans trying to get out. And you may recall some of the rhetoric that Tony Blinken, our Secretary of the entire Department of State, was spreading around. We played some yesterday. I want to share that with you. Several passengers waited to check in into the flight earlier, said the final destination was Canada. "We're going to Canada. We are Canadians," one man told Al Jazeera Arabic at the airport in English. Another two men also said they were bound for Canada. So we have no reason to believe, actually, that there are Americans on this. We're at the mercy of the Taliban. That's the bottom line. Now let's go to, and there's a real lack of clarity here because this is CNN and you can't trust CNN to do anything other than carry water for the Biden White House and the Democrat Party. It's what they do. All right, let's go to some audio on this, Michael. Let's go to soundbite number 3A. 3A. That's a sub 3. It's like 3, but it's below 3. And this is audio that we played yesterday of the Secretary of State, Tony Blinken. Is he still the Secretary of State? He should really resign. He's truly awful. And Tony Blinken, we played the audio yesterday because he said it day before yesterday. There were all these reports. We've got these guys who are former U.S. military who are now private sector, and they've gotten planes into Mazar-e-Sharif to get Americans on the planes, to get them out of the country. And you may recall from the audio we played yesterday, the Biden administration was saying, well, we're, you know, and Jen Psaki, you know, we're not in charge of that. We can't let them land just anywhere because we don't know. We can't see them getting on the plane. We're leaving that to the Taliban. And just this insane stuff. We got a Jen Psaki today. They're not in charge of who takes off, but they're in charge of where they land. So once they take off, the United States government under Biden makes sure that they have no place to land. That's their plan. This is the the Biden administration. All right, so here's Secretary of State Anthony Blinken. Day before yesterday, we played this audio yesterday.
We are not aware of anyone being held on an aircraft or any hostage-like situation in Mazar-e Sharif.
We are not aware of anyone being held or any hostage-like situation in Mazar-e Sharif. Well, we played that audio yesterday because he said it day before yesterday. And then yesterday, the same person, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, came out and he was talking to the American people and the world. And now suddenly it's like, oh, we knew all along there were planes being held by the Taliban in Mazar-e Sharif.
As of now, the Taliban are not permitting the charter flights to depart. They claim that some of the passengers do not have the required documentation. Those flights need to be able to depart. And we will work every day to make sure that they're able to do that. We will continue to press the Taliban to allow the charters to leave.
So suddenly there are these charter flights, and we're talking about the charter flights in Mazar-e Sharif, which he said he was completely unaware of. I was aware of them. I had seen the people behind the effort on Fox News talking about it. I had seen written stories about it. I had seen satellite photos or aerial photos of the airplanes there on the apron in Mazar-e Sharif at the airport waiting to get out. I was aware of it, but our Secretary of State was not aware of any of it. And then I said, well, hey, Tony, yesterday I said I could send you the videos of the interviews. I could share with you the audio, which I did. And he says, well, now the Taliban is not permitting the charter flights to depart. So now he's aware of them, fully aware of them, and still provided no detail because, you know, he's not a good man. He's not an honest man. He's not a brave man. He's not an upright man. He's, a Democrat. And that's the problem that we have there. Tony Blinken, soundbite number four. Tony Blinken yesterday. So again, he continues to be shocked by this terrorist group not behaving like the Boy Scouts of America. Uh-oh. The button.
The Taliban named a new interim government. We're assessing the announcement, but despite professing that a new government would be inclusive, the announced list of names consists exclusively of individuals were members of the Taliban or their close associates, and no women.
And no women. And probably no openly LGBTQ people, I'm probably thinking.
Someone like me as a woman or any menstruating person in this country.
See, so it doesn't have to be just women. It can be men who menstruate in Afghanistan, which might be tricky because it's Afghanistan, and that might be a problem. So they're disappointed to find that they're not being inclusive. This is not satire. This is not Saturday Night Live. This is the United States government in 2021 under Joseph Robinette Biden. Tony Blinken, Secretary of State, he's concerned about this inclusivity thing.
It certainly does not meet the test of inclusivity. And it includes people who have very challenging track records.
Can you imagine, these people, he says this with a straight face. He's being serious. What next? ISIS is not good to women. Either they take them as sex slaves. You see the stories about all the old gray-bearded men that showed up at Dulles International Airport in Virginia with little teen girls, and they said, this is my wife. This is my wife. They've grabbed girls off the street and they're sexually assaulting them and bringing them to the United States and saying, oh, no, this is my wife. They're Taliban brides. They're being grabbed like they're chattel property and brought to the United States. And in many cases, they're little girls with old gray haired men. And they're coming into the United States in numbers that we don't know about. It's impossible to say. And they and the vetting is also just awful, by the way. Now, you may remember Jennifer Griffin at Fox News, their Pentagon correspondent, talking to General Thoroughly Modern Milley about what we can expect now that we've abandoned, evacuated, moved on from, pulled out of whatever Afghanistan. He's got a timeline, maybe 12 months, maybe 24 months, maybe 36 months, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, until we're being attacked by the troglodytes out of Afghanistan.
Is the U.S. safer today since the U.S. has withdrawn from Afghanistan?
No.
Well, you know, this is something that I've thought a lot about.
No.
And I personally think that my military estimate is that the conditions are likely to develop of a civil war.
Civil war.
I don't know if the Taliban is going to be able to consolidate power and establish governance. They may be, maybe not.
They will.
I think there's at least a very good probability of a broader civil war. And that will then in turn lead to conditions that could, in fact, lead to a reconstitution of Al-Qaeda or a growth of ISIS or other myriad of terrorist groups. So I think the short answer to your question is we don't know yet, but the conditions are very likely, in my opinion, that, and I've testified this and I've said it in public, that you could see a resurgence of terrorism coming out of that general region within 12, 24, 36 months.
Yeah, or 12 days, or 24 days, or 36 days. But the reconstitution of Al-Qaeda and ISIS and myriad radical Islamic terrorist groups, not a thing. Jen Psaki, a.k.a. Colonel Kleb, was briefing at the White House yesterday. Was she wearing her Soviet uniform yesterday? Or just around the house with the knee-high hobnailed boots? Jen Psaki yesterday, when being asked, I assume, by Peter Doocy and nobody else, about these Americans stranded in Mazar-e Sharif and the planes that are there that the Taliban will not allow to take off, although they've apparently allowed a Qatar airliner filled with Canadians to leave from Kabul, which is a different city altogether. They like Kabul now, like Karbam, Kabul, Karbam, Karboom, Kabul. Jen Psaki yesterday saying the White House, well, they're not in charge of planes taking off since they turned the country over to the Taliban without getting Americans out. But they are in charge of where the planes land, and they're not going to let them land.
We don't have a role in preventing flights from taking off. We are not on the ground. So a number of these planes, they may have a handful of American citizens. Are we going to allow a plane with hundreds of people where we don't know who they are to land on a U.S. military base?
No. The answer is no. No, they're not going to allow. So if the planes do take off, the Biden administration is going to make sure that they have no place to land, which is, you know, so you have so much fuel, you can only get so far, you got range, and it's limited. There is a Republican congressman from Tennessee by the name of Mark Green. Mark Green is a medical doctor and a veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan. He's the bundled package. And he's talking about the refugees that have been brought here to the United States and to Virginia and how they haven't been vetted, and they're at this base, and they can just, like, call a cab and leave anytime they want. This is the Biden administration's plan.
They're letting them leave. They can catch an Uber and actually leave the base. They don't know exactly how many are even there, so they can't account for someone if they don't return.
Now, why would that be a problem? I don't understand why that's a, so we've got refugees brought to the United States from Afghanistan, one of the leading terrorist states in the world, and they can call an Uber and leave the military base where they're currently being held in Virginia and just go away. And that's it, because this is their plan. The Democrats and the Biden White House have a plan now at long last, and this is it. You can come here and you can just call an Uber and you can leave. That's amazing stuff. Hey, did you miss the Trump rally recently, or did you catch the Trump rally recently? You know, it means something if you caught it. It means you were watching Newsmax. Every major cable news channel refused to carry the Trump rally except for Newsmax. Over 5 million Americans tuned into Newsmax to watch the Trump rally. Newsmax is now the fastest growing cable news channel in America, and it's the place you go for real news you can trust. I love Newsmax. I watch Newsmax. Newsmax is on all your major cable systems, and if your cable system doesn't have Newsmax, give them a call and tell them you want them to carry Newsmax. Newsmax also streams for free on smart TVs, Samsung, LG. It's available on apps like Roku, Amazon, Fire, Zumo, Pluto, whole bunch more. 7 million Americans have Newsmax, the Newsmax app, on your smartphones. I love Newsmax. The Newsmax app is great, too. Takes only a few seconds to download onto your smartphone or your tablet, and no paywall or subscription for you. Nuh-uh. So watch Newsmax for breaking news and for all your news. Find out why tens of millions of Americans are now tuning into Newsmax TV all the time. Going to Newsmax.com for breaking news. Watch Newsmax TV today. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, planes come, planes go. They don't really care. Why would they care about that? And then they come in the United States and they have their underage girlfriends with them and they say, this is my wife, and that's okay. Then they call an Uber and they just leave. Hey, where are you going? Are you coming back? You know, adios, suckers. This is the Biden White House's plan for the evacuation of Afghanistan, and they're being praised in the news media.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
I would like to play that soundbite one more time. Congressman Mark Green, Republican, Tennessee, medical doctor, veteran, Army major, Afghanistan, Iraq. And we're talking about Fort Pickett in the state of Virginia down by Richmond, an Army National Guard base, and lots of refugees are being held there.
They're letting them leave. They can catch an Uber and actually leave the base. They don't know exactly how many are even there, so they can't account for someone if they don't return.
Sounds like a good plan the Democrats have there, the Biden people have. With that, let's go to the telephones, Michael. Let's go to Matt calling from Alexandria, Virginia. Matthew, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Semper Fi, Chris.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, these fools don't understand. You know, Jen Psaki, whose hair is as red as her politics, is sitting there saying, well, we don't know who's on the planes. Meanwhile, in the last 20 years, we've had over 500,000 people die from opioid and fentanyl abuse because they allowed drugs and illegal immigration across the border. And now you want to say, we don't know who's on the planes? You're not serious people. And honestly, Republicans, the majority of you, you're a bunch of feckless cowards as well. I can't wait to get rid of all of you.
Yeah.
Peacefully and politically.
Yeah, yeah, you're 100% right, of course. And you're a United States Marine?
Long time ago, but a lot, much older, much fatter. But, yeah. You know, hey.
Well, that's right. And that's why I think what Congressman Mark Green is saying, that at Fort Pickett in Virginia, south of Richmond, they have refugees there, and they're free to wander all over the base, he says, and they're free to call an Uber and just leave and go and never to be seen or heard from again. This is a remarkable system that these people have set up, and there is no accountability, and we have no legitimate news media calling the government on anything. It's extraordinary, absolutely extraordinary. Matt, thank you very much. Saluting you. And yeah, the Republicans. Where are the Republicans on Capitol Hill raising hell about this? And going to the microphones is one, Congressman Mark Green, you know, a soldier, a major, a medical doctor. He's coming out and telling the truth.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
In Anne Arundel County in Maryland, they have a memorial of sorts to a lynching that took place, more than one lynching actually, that took place generations ago. And there were news reports that the Anne Arundel County lynching historical marker had been vandalized. Vandals went and vandalized the, and you know what it was? It was a noose. It's a noose. And it wasn't actually struck or spray painted. The left usually strikes and spray paints and smashes and destroys things like the Taliban that they are. No, but it was a noose was found attached to the Anne Arundel lynching historical marker. And then police were called because there was vandalism, and it was terrible. So now the updated report is here. A piece of string reported as a noose found attached to the lynching in Anne Arundel County historical marker was found not to be racially motivated. That's because it's a string, all right? The Anne Arundel County Police said an investigation into the marker at the Severna Park Library found that the string was a piece of twine used on the day the memorial was dedicated and was used to hold a floral arrangement in place. It's a string not thick enough to fly a kite with, I think it is. It's a little piece of twine, and it's several inches long, and it has a loop on the end because it's holding flowers, okay? But a Democrat, a liberal, someone with severe brain damage, called the police. Oh, no, it's been vandalized. There's a noose. No, it's a little four-inch string holding a couple of flowers to commemorate. The flowers are not vandalism. Flowers are decor. I think that's what they are, right? That's pretty amazing stuff. The police department said that they investigate any reported act that appears to be motivated or perceived by the reporting person to be motivated, all or in part by hatred toward or bias against any individual or group on the basis of race, religion, ethnicity, sexual orientation, disability, gender identity, or homelessness. That's a pretty long list. How about politics? Because that's where most of it is. Now, I don't know why you need to put out a statement that long. You could just say, pfft, it's a string holding a flower. Take a pill. See somebody about your problem because you are not well. Just amazing stuff. Just great. CNN is not a news organization. We all know that, all right? But there is a Mediaite left-wing website. Cable news ratings, Monday, September 6th. Fox News beats CNN and MSNBC combined on Labor Day. Combined. That was Monday, of course. Now the ratings are in. And CNN is, it's my alma mater. I worked there for years. It is an absolute embarrassment to Western civilization. And CNN, as who was it? It was Megilla Gorilla, I think, Fredo Cuomo, who famously said, CNN sucks. And that is about as polite as you can be when it comes to CNN. God, it's awful. It's just awful. And MSDNC is stomping them like a bug. And then Fox News is beating them like a drum. And they're beating Fox News beat CNN and MSNBC combined.
CNN sucks.
Yes. Well, you know, take it from the authority there. Also, here's another headline from Fox News, gloating a little, perhaps. CNN spent the majority of summer below 1 million viewers. Even worse during prime time. The liberal network, CNN, averaged just 603,000 in total day viewership. A whopping, listen to this, 42% decrease from the summer of 2020. Down 42% year to year, losing nearly half your audience. Isn't that amazing? Despite a jam-packed summer of breaking news, viewers continued to flee from the so-called most trusted name in news, Fox News reports. From July 1st through August 31st, the news cycle did not take a summer vacation. And that's true. It was a crazy summer news-wise. Of course, for a whole lot of reasons. Got crazy people in charge is one reason, which included the migrant crisis at the southern border, skyrocketing crime in cities across the country, the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, growing inflation concerns. A poll shows that we're very concerned. I think 83% of us concerned about the inflation and bad economy. The tragic Surfside condo building collapse, the battle over infrastructure spending on Capitol Hill, the shocking overturned conviction of Bill Cosby, the resignation of Democratic New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, gropey McGropeface, and the Biden administration's chaotic military withdrawal from Afghanistan, to name but a few things. However, none of the major headlines were enough to salvage CNN's dwindling viewership. Over the course of 92 days, CNN failed to reach 1 million viewers on 53 of them. Only 58. Now, this is a nation of 333 million people. And at any given time, 332 and a half million are not watching CNN. Something better to do.
As this crowd is chanting that there are members of the press here who suck, I should also point out, Wolf, what also sucks, getting the coronavirus.
Which he got. Oh, man. They are so awful. And then they go through some of the numbers and, you know, the Ingram angle averages 2.2 million people. And Greg Gutfeld is beating like Stephen Colbert and Jimmy Kimmel. This is they're just tragic. But they keep doing it anyway because it's about politics and not about news and not about journalism. It's tragic. Tragic. And, you know, four of the five Taliban released from Guantanamo Bay by the Obama-Biden administration, four of them are now in leadership positions in the Taliban. Nobody talks about the fifth. He's now a vice president in charge of programming at CNN. It's we know where the fifth one is now. That's not true. I just made that up. That's just a joke. I'm only kidding. By the way, the Democrats completely insane. Here's the headline in the Washington Times. Your newspaper of record in Washington, D.C. Drug companies say Dems' plan will wipe them off the face of the earth. You see, the Democrats are planning on stealing all of the money from pharmaceutical companies. They've been waging a quiet propaganda war, not so quiet propaganda war, against pharmaceutical companies for years and years now, for decades. The heads of the nation's major pharmaceutical companies on Wednesday warned that the Democrats' plan to let Medicare set drug prices would push some of them completely out of business. The warning upped the stakes in the industry's fight against the drug pricing measure in President Biden's $3.5 trillion social welfare bill, which they previously argued would hamper drug makers' ability to create new cures and bring new drugs to market. It's going to wipe off the face of the earth some pharmaceutical companies that are household names, said David Ricks, CEO of Eli Lilly, and chairman of the industry's lobbying group. So the Democrats, their plan is to let the federal government set prices on drugs with no regard for the free market or the cost to the, you know, and as I like to bring this up because it's true. Who saved more lives last year, Eli Lilly or the United Nations? Who brought comfort to more human beings last year, Pfizer or the United Nations? Name an American pharmaceutical company. They saved more lives, they brought comfort to more people, relieved more pain than any of these international organizations or any of this stuff. But the Democrats are planning on, and it will plumb $600 billion out of the pockets of the pharmaceutical companies so the Democrats can pay for Obamacare, which is bankrupted and failed and a complete catastrophe. This is what they call socialism. Now, in Hugo Chavez's Venezuela, they decided they were going to socialize the oil and gas industry. And now they don't have an oil and gas industry. And now that segment of the economy, which made it the most prosperous country in Latin America, is just dead. And now people are eating out of garbage cans and they destroy everything. This is the left. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. By the way, the anniversary of September 11th, again, day after tomorrow, 20th anniversary. Mets Yankees to wear first responders hats for 9/11 remembrance game. So it's Yankees Mets and in New York. And the Mets and the Yankees will both be wearing first responder caps, baseball caps for the game. Gotcha. And we still have this headline. I love that AOC explains that trans men and non-binary people can menstruate. Or you prefer menstruate after referring to menstruating people. Just unbelievable. Just unbelievable. How
someone
awful.
Like me as a woman or any menstruating person.
Or any menstruating person. Not women, not just because it's not limited to women anymore, not in Democrat land. And as soon as they take all this money from the pharmaceutical companies, you know, what did the Hillary Clinton call them? Obscene profits, the obscene profits. And then they'll burn through it in 1 year and then the companies won't be there anymore. It's like that song, Alvin Lee, 10 years after, tax the rich, feed the poor till there are no rich no more. You see, and this is so incredibly stupid. You have to be an idiot, because till there are no rich no more, you're going to tax the rich to feed the poor. And the goal is there will be no more rich. And then who do you tax to feed the poor? You see, how does that make sense? It doesn't make any sense. But that's what they're planning on doing now to the pharmaceutical companies. It's what Hugo Chavez did to the oil and gas companies. And they murder everything. They murder everything.
Tax the rich, feed the poor, tell there are no rich no more.
Tell me, where is sanity? Honestly. And this is what they're planning on doing. This is their plan. And it's just like one line in here in this million-page bill, the $3-point-something trillion dollars just added on top of the what have we already spent? $6 trillion this year. The federal government normally spends $4-4.5 trillion in a year. And they're going to add another. And it's filled with this shopping list of crazy left-wing Bernie Sanders fantasies. See, Bernie Sanders turned 80 yesterday. Yesterday he turned 80 years old. He actually participated in the Bolshevik Revolution. He didn't really, but he could have. Also, in Mexico City, statue of Christopher Columbus in Mexico City to be replaced by indigenous female figure because the left. And here's a picture of the statue of they've got the Christopher Columbus memorial here. And it's spray painted with red fists with the name of George Floyd, with BLM for Black Lives Matter, with a red hammer and sickle spray painted because this is the left in Mexico City. And they're going to do away with the Christopher Columbus Memorial in Mexico City and replace it with an indigenous female figure. Now, you can't just put up a statue of an indigenous female figure. In addition to Christopher Columbus, no, Christopher Columbus must be torn down and destroyed and spray painted and vandalized with the communist hammer and sickle, the red fist, the angry fist, violence and all that stuff. All right, let's go to soundbite number nine. President Trump last night talking to Greg Gutfeld on his excellent 11 p.m. show that does better than the late night TV shows. And it's funnier, too, because those shows aren't funny. They're just Democrat politics. President Trump on Joe Biden running the country into the ground.
I don't know that he's a nice president. I'm not sure about that. But yeah. I can tell you the country has never been more unsafe. We have people pouring in through our southern border, which everyone's forgetting about right now because of the travesty of Afghanistan. And if you look at the people coming in by the hundreds, by the thousands, and these are not the people necessarily that wanted the protection.
Right.
These are people. So are they terrorists? How many terrorists are coming in? And they were aggressive, very aggressive at the plane, and they pushed their way onto the plane.
Yeah, a couple of minor things. And is he going to run? Is he not going to run? President Trump, we don't know, but indicators, you know, I think the magic eight ball would say indicators are yes. And President Trump on the military and Joe Biden and the Democrats.
When you think that they moved the military out first, think of this, because we had a great plan.
It's backwards.
Even Biden, I think he made a mistake when they did it. They were all screaming at him. But when he said that since President Trump, or he calls it the past administration, signed the deal, not one soldier was shot at or killed. Think of that. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because they knew the consequences.
Yeah.
And our conditions were tough. And then they came in and they just moved out. Who would move out the military first? The military goes last and safely. And sadly, those 13 great soldiers and 200 people, you know, 200 people, more than 200 people were killed. And a lot of people are badly injured, really badly injured. It wouldn't have happened.
Yeah. President Trump, you know, the obvious completely eludes Joe Biden and the American news media. Also in Chicago, the public school system can't get bus drivers to show up because they've got a vaccine mandate. So they don't have enough bus drivers. So the school district is talking to Uber and Lyft about picking up kids and bringing them to school, I guess, in limousines or something. This is a new kind of limousine liberalism.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Sent letters to people sitting on advisory boards that the government set up. And if you're put on one of these advisory boards by President Trump, they're kicking you off. Naval Academy, Air Force Academy, West Point. Sean Spicer, who's a Naval Academy guy, is refusing to go. Kellyanne Conway is refusing to go. Great stuff. Great stuff. And they should stay and fight. So these are patronage jobs, like in Chicago in the old days. You know Joe Rogan, a podcaster, a famous guy, he's kind of a fun guy. He got the Wuhan, and he was treated by his doctors, and one of the drugs that they gave him was ivermectin. The media, they're against ivermectin. So on CNN, Aaron Burnett attacked Joe Rogan for being prescribed ivermectin by his doctor.
One of the world's highest paid and most influential podcast hosts, Joe Rogan, just announced that he's tested positive for coronavirus. Rogan telling his 13 million Instagram followers that he was treated with several drugs, and he included ivermectin on the list, a drug used for livestock.
That's a lie. It's Aunt Manderson Pooper on the same subject.
One of those drugs he mentioned, ivermectin, is something more often used to deworm horses.
More often. He said more often. She said it's used for... Now, Joe Rogan explained himself, and he told the truth. I've researched this ivermectin stuff. Joe Rogan.
Bro, do I have to sue CNN?
I don't know, do you?
They're making shit up. They keep saying I'm taking horse dewormer. I literally got it from a doctor. It's an American company.
Mm-hmm.
They won the Nobel Prize in 2015 for use in human beings.
Yeah.
That's right.
And CNN is saying I'm taking horse dewormer.
Yeah, what? So
they must know that that's a lie.
Well, there's a lot of people saying it.
Right, but a lot of people can say it.
Okay.
Yeah. Like the internet says it, who cares?
Sure.
But CNN is saying it.
Yeah, well, CNN is not a news organization. Ivermectin, I researched, an American doctor, Japanese doctor, and a Chinese doctor were awarded the Nobel Prize in 2015 for creating ivermectin and a related drug for use in humans. Yes, there are variations that can be used in horses, but it's being used to treat people all over the place, and they just lie about everything. CNN is not a news organization. It's a political organization. That's why nobody watches them. The New York Times has not updated coverage of Biden's approval ratings in nearly 4 months, my friends at the Media Research Center point out. They had it on the front page, his approval rating, until it started diving. And for 4 months, they had it every day. And then as soon as it started diving, they haven't updated it for 4 months.